My phone started buzzing as soon as I plugged it in on the morning of April 2, 2012. Message after message lit up my screen. Text message: Oaksterdam University being raided by federal agents. Voicemail: Steve, the feds are raiding Oaksterdam. We need you down here right away. Oaksterdam University was, and still is, Oakland's first and only licensed trade school for the cannabis industry. I was shocked to hear that it was being raided. No cannabis was sold there, and the only garden I knew about was a tiny one used to train students. I threw on some clothes, quickly scraped my face, and sped across town to Oakland's downtown district, popularly known as Oaksterdam, a tribute to its atmosphere of tolerance. There were already a few dozen protesters there, trying their best to surround a large number of federal agents from the IRS, DEA, and U.S. Marshals Service. I heard the chants before I saw the protesters gathered on the sidewalk. DEA, go away! DEA, go away! Our state! Our laws! Our medicine! Directed to a parade of grim-faced federal agents carting boxes of school records to a waiting truck. The crowd swelled as word of the raid leaked out into their Monday morning routines, and outrage built when it was announced that Oaksterdam founder and longtime activist Richard Lee had been detained by federal agents, along with several university staff members. The emotional pitch of the assembled protesters steadily climbed as the feds went about dismantling the cannabis community's leading educational institution. The chants grew angrier. Whose laws? Our laws. Whose streets? Our streets. Before long, local Oakland police officers arrived to prevent further disorder. Shortly behind them, some of Oakland's elected officials appeared to show support for Rich Lee and Oaksterdam U. First and foremost was Councilwoman Rebecca Kaplan, a longtime champion of cannabis reform, who was rapidly surrounded by questioning reporters. If the federal government has law enforcement resources to spare, there are a lot of guns on the streets of Oakland, and we would love their help getting rid of them, she said. No sooner had Kaplan spoken those words than a friend tugged my sleeve. Hey, Steve, have you heard about the shooting? 7 people just died at a school down by the airport. With that news, the day went from ugly to tragic. It turned out that while dozens of federal agents and local cops were spending hours closing down a completely peaceful campus, at the very same moment, on the other side of Oakland at another school, Oikos University, 7 innocent people lost their lives to gun violence. Subsequently released OPD emails show that the federal raids slowed the department's response time to the shooting, and the killer escaped from the scene. We'll never know if the Oikos shooting could have been prevented with more cops, or had guns been less easily available in Oakland. But the federal assault on Oaksterdam is just one example of the misplaced priorities reflected in cannabis prohibition. Cities across the U.S. are begging for help with gun violence, while schools and stores erupt with mass shootings. Our mental health care system is in shambles, and our prisons are bursting at the seams. Gang violence is rampant, killing vastly more kids than do the mass shootings, and a Federal Bureau of Justice study found that almost 500,000 U.S. citizens were victims of gun crimes in 2011. Meanwhile, our law enforcement agencies use their limited resources to arrest 750,000 people on cannabis charges every year. That's one every 42 seconds, vastly outnumbering violent crime arrests or arrests for any other drug.